Orale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin, and we are live. We are live on YouTube, Familia. Please make sure to give us a like and subscribe. I learned this from the guy right here to make sure that we do this. So I am going to introduce our invitado de lujo, Familia. He is one of my favorite people. To say he's a friend is actually doing him a disservice. He's been mi hermano. He has been part sensei. He has been cheerleader, fan, booster. But I also call him Big Papi, the other Big Papi, Robbie Johnson from the Run Boys Fantasy Network, Sports Me app, and It's a Vibe. Robbie Johnson, muchas gracias. Welcome back. Bienvenidos. Tú estás en tu casa, papi. Tú estás en tu casa.
Hey, appreciate. Thank you for welcoming me in the home. You know, bienvenidos, everybody that's going to be tuning in tonight, checking out tonight's show. We have an action-packed show for you. I'm excited for all the topics and appreciate all of your praise, Jorge, man. Thank you for having me on tonight. You know, we had to make it happen. It's Super Bowl week. It's the biggest week in media. So I mean, you know, we here. Cheers to me, cheers to you, to the whole La Familia crew. Dilly dilly.
Salud, mi hermano. Salud, mi hermano. Oh man. It's just so Familia, you know, anybody tuning in, please, you know, feel free to throw in a question, anything, comment into the chat. But you know what? We're here to have some fun tonight. We're here to kick off Super Bowl week. But first off, I couldn't have this man on without talking to him about a team on the left coast. So he spent part of his life out there, and they had a little reveal last week. And I know you talked about this on Run Boys. On Run Boys After Dark on Friday, which Familia, if you haven't been checking this out, please make sure to Friday nights. You got an appointment. Occasionally I jump on, but always they're entertaining, and it's always entertaining. You laugh at least once. You'll drink at least a drink.
And, a lot.
a lot. But you'll also come out with some information. But you know, the Washington football team has got a new name, the Commanders. And I just, you know, from somebody who's, you know, followed them from the Redskin days from your youth, the last couple of years as the WFT, the football team, now landing on a name Commanders. Now, I will admit, I was partial to the Hogs, Red Hogs, something like that. But what are kind of your thoughts on the new name?
Fire your marketing guy. My gosh, Washington. Fuck me, right? No, like for real, like the name's not as bad as many wanted to go out on Twitter and, you know, and Facebook and just social media in general and kind of bash on it. Everything is a meme nowadays, and like cancel culture runs like true and wild. One of my favorite jokes that I saw was, y'all went from being the Redskins to the motherfuckers that were killing them. And I was like, God damn it. Like, you're right. Like, you know, it's no matter how you look at it, this was kind of bad, but this name sounds like something that you created when you're like playing with your amigos, you know, back when you're like a kid. Remember the old school PlayStation 2 days when Michael Vick was on the cover of Madden? Remember those days? Remember the hit stick days? Those days with the QB vision days? Okay, when those things were brand new, when Donovan McNabb was on the cover of freaking Madden? Like, it sounds like a name that you created when you create a team, and then you create a player and put that player on that team and then boosting them all the way up to 99 and boosting everyone else on the team up to 99. You got like yourself, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, all those receivers. It's like, of course, like, you know, this is what this team name sounds like, Commanders. It sounds like it's like a 14-year-old created it, to be honest.
But at least they kept the colors. So
yeah, they kept the colors. Yeah, they kept the colors. You remember that movie Small Soldiers?
Yes.
Tom Lee Jones was the voice of the main dude. Yo, that, by the way, that is one of my most favorite movies, a 90s classic. but that's what they were the commandos. They were the commandos. Yeah, that's what this sounds like. That's what I thought of when I heard this.
you know what I actually put on Twitter. Did you watch Friends? Were you much of a Friends fan back in the day?
A little bit. So there was not as serious as our homie Jake Seeley. Shout out to you, Jake. But oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, there was the whole, you know, going commando episode where Joey comes out and he's wearing all the food, all the clothes and everything. And he goes, I'm going to do some. I actually found a GIF on a GIF on Twitter and posted it, and actually got a few laughs from people. Bro. So that was pretty good.
That's good. That's just comedy, especially if you know that episode. Like, yes, man, it's not like no matter what, I'm going to support my team. Okay, the way that I feel how people reacted to the name reveal, they were going to react to this no matter what. No matter what we pick, they were going to nitpick and find something.
Yes.
If we did the Red Wolves, they're going to be like, you're still appropriating Native American culture. Like, if we did the Red Hawks, that was going to come out. Like, that's why they did not do those names. You know, but that aside, that being said, I feel like, you know, the internet and social media kind of like overreacted with this one. It's like people that tell you like that Nickelback sucks. And it's like, but if Nickelback comes on the radio, you're singing it lyric for lyric. If someone is singing it at karaoke, you're hopping on and you're singing right along, like singing a song. Like, you know, it's a thing. What else is something that like culture. Culture will tell you that like Justin Bieber is like his music is like trash. Like, although it may not be for me, I can't sing. Yes. I can't play guitar. I can't dance. I couldn't write My Peaches Come from Georgia. Like even though that was probably so clever, but hey, you know, so you know, there's a
there's
lot
somebody
of
somebody download. There's somebody, you know, downloading it on iTunes and Spotify. That's there's enough people. And that's the thing, you know, what it kind of the outcry reminded me a little bit of 2 years ago when the Rams, they introduced their new helmet. They introduced their new kind of, you know, the color scheme. And there was just, I mean, out here in LA, there was just a huge outcry. Eric Dickerson even chimed in and was like, this sucks. And he used a couple of really derogatory terms that
describe how the logo looked. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I was just like, oh, and a buddy of mine was working inside the team and he was just like, oh man, we are just getting killed right now. And I just told him, you know, the only thing that's going to fix it, just win.
Atlanta dealt with it too, like with their new look uniforms. And like after a while, like no one cared. Like once that first kickoff happens, no one cares.
Yep.
Watch how many people play with this team as a Madden team because they're not gonna be like, oh, like it's new. Like watch, it's gonna happen. There's gonna be bandwagon fans. It's gonna happen. Commanders, it's DC.
Cool. Now the thing is, you know it, and I do look at the parallel again. You upgrade a quarterback, and you win. And it's like, and I feel like it's just that simple, I mean, a lot of the rest of that team is set up. The defense, you got Chase Young coming back healthy. I mean, and I think you talked about you like the black.
I love the black uniforms. Finally, we're adopting a kind of like all black feel. There was always like the alternate jerseys that we had, but we had never like actually like worn them. So like the fact that we're actually going to wear these is I'm excited, and the fact that'll probably be the most highest purchased one because that was the one that even people there were like may not like the name, but that jersey's pretty like it's nice. Like they did good on that one. You know, so I could see people like, you know, going out buying the jerseys. I could see like some famous rapper or something wearing like you know, the all black edition. And then like all of a sudden it's like, oh, like now I need to buy one. Like it'll happen. It'll be a thing.
What whose jersey name are you going to get on it?
So I have a Sean Taylor in the All Whites when we were the Redskins. I have Terry McLaurin in the Burgundy when we were Washington football team. So I'll probably do Chase Young in, the All Black. Yeah,
that's a bad
man. I'll have like 1, 2, 3.
That's a guy, you know, when you hear so much talk about him. I mean, obviously they missed him most of the season, but I mean, he's a guy that really could have a Hall of Fame trajectory. And it's like, yeah, that's a jersey, like out here, Aaron Donald.
And he's ready to be a lifer with the team. So like that's going to be interesting as well. I think him and McLaurin are going to try and stick around for a while. So, you know, we'll see. These guys have been through a lot in a very short time with this team. McLaurin's played for 3 different names, 10 to 12 different quarterbacks.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's Super Bowl week. And out here in LA, it's LA's starting to kind of get a little woken up. It's been a while since the Super Bowl has been here, since the 90s. So this city definitely knows how to throw a party.
Yeah.
And so they know that once the players start coming in and the media availabilities start up on Wednesday, that things are going to start to get serious. The parties are going to start to happen. So I really, that's why I love the idea of talking about that. It's kind of kicking off Super Bowl coverage on our show here with you, because you've lived in LA, you know what this city is about. And so I just kind of like wanted to get, just talking about the game itself. What are your early impressions on how the game is going to, how the Super Bowl is going to play out?
You have to really Doctor Strange this one.
Where
I'm going through my multiple scenarios. How I think that it's going to play out and how I want it to play out are two totally different things. I would love it to just be a knockout, drag out shootout. I could also see to where, you know, there's could be a very clear, easy path to where, hey, the Rams could come out and they could dominate. Like, it's home. It's like their own stadium. Like, Bengals offensive line troubles. Like, there's that. But then it's like, there's Joe Burrow on the other side. Like, so I think that in all likelihood, you know, we could be looking at something fairly decently, you know, high scoring, maybe not, you know, 30 points per each side. Maybe, you know, we're looking at a 27-24 on a high end type of deal.
And that would cover the over. The over is at 49.5.
The over is at 49.5. And which is what you're really wanting in these type of like once in a lifetime, last of the final hoorah, like type of games. Like, if you're really out there like betting, you know, you're really out there gambling, if you do have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. But if you really are out there going to hit the books, you're wanting the over. In all likelihood of, like, I understand if you're going out there and you're rooting for the under. I understand if you're predicting, you know, a, you know, 21-3 type of scenario, or, you know, something in that. I completely understand that.
Well, speaking of 21-3, the Bengals came back from that.
Yeah, this is facts. This is facts. Like, you have two guys that have never, ever, ever been in this scenario in terms of the quarterbacks. Two really badass receiving cores, like really fucking good receiving cores. The defenses are actually well on both sides. Like, the O-line is the only thing, the only soft spot that we could talk about with the Bengals, realistically.
So let's talk about that one. That's kind of like where it starts. You got the Bengals, it's been bandied about. They gave up 9 sacks to the Titans, who have a great defensive front. The Chiefs are not as ferocious up front, but the Rams may have as good a pass rush as there is. I think they were neck and neck with San Francisco for the best pass rush in the playoffs. And these guys, I mean, you got Aaron Donald and Von Miller. And I kept telling people, you know, when the Rams were kind of, you know, kind of uneven, they had that 3-game losing streak. I said, look, you know what? These guys have stars. And what if these stars get it all together, this could be scary. And now all of a sudden you got Donald and Miller. And yeah, can you possibly, I mean, you can't double team both of them.
Like, no, you can't. So for the Bengals offensive line, it's really going to come down to what Jonah Williams shows up. Okay. You drafted this kid. There's a lot of first round talent on that roster and on that offensive side of the ball. And when it comes to the linemen, when it comes down to first round guys, you need Jonah Williams to really step up in the biggest game possible. Yeah, he allowed 8 sacks over his career. Only 4 penalties. You know, that's you're needing that. You're needing that high level of play from him. Both sides are going to be bruised up at tight end.
Yes.
Super unfortunate. So now you have to think about how that's going to affect both of these teams' blocking schemes. And we already saw previously in the championship games how those two things kind of, you know, greatly alter the playbooks for both teams. Drew Sample, better keep your feet underneath you, son. You better keep your feet underneath you, son. Because maybe that's how maybe that could be a way that you double team them. But damn, like they have that offensive line as a whole has a tough assignment on them. And then Von Miller, you have Von Miller coming through, bringing pressure as well.
And Leonard Floyd, kind of like the unsung hero in this group. And you just sit there and you're like, I kind of feel like I love Joe Burrow's talent. I mean, all full disclosure, I'm a Ram fan, but I'm also a fantasy fan, and I loved what's Joe Burrow's done this because we need more great quarterbacks. And I look at him, and it's going to be like, are we going to see the Burrow who really nutted up against the Titans, or is he going to be running for his life like Mahomes did last year in the Super Bowl? And you know, there's a part of me that's leaning toward that. And I hope, I think by the end of this week, I will figure out.
He had to do a little bit of that last,
He did. He got away from Chris Jones, a couple of big plays and made some big plays. I look at that. I mean, I think to me, if the Rams are able to cave in that offensive line, this game could be game over. And in which case, when it comes to prop bets, we'll talk about a few of those in a bit. Aaron Donald at plus 1,000 for Super Bowl MVP. That would be fun.
Right. And what was it like I think as of the last week, I'm sure that number has definitely inflated. Once that tweet went out, 23% of the money being on him.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah. Like people are like going and they're seeing that. They're like, oh, like this could be doable. Like that could be possible. Cause I mean, realistically, in order for that to be possible, you would need a heavy defensive game from those Bengals DBs, which we know that they are very well capable of doing that. Trey Anderson is also like a guy that people are forgetting to highlight as well on the defense side for the Bengals. I mean, there's a litany of possibilities with these two teams, but with both the receiving corps that they have, it's gonna be a war. It's gonna be a knockout dragout fight. Neither of these teams are letting up against the either. They both know how important it is for their specific cities. Gosh, it's gonna be tough. I've been riding the Bengals all year. But this game could possibly make me sway away from it for once.
This one could break it. I really think that I think Burrow will make some plays, but I think that defensive front is kind of like in the last game where it was just like they kept the pressure, and then like, and Donald, I mean, he made one play, but it was the play. And it was just like he just kept wearing them down, and that's the thing. He just keeps coming. So I think when you got somebody that special, that and I think he kind of embodies that team that came close 2 years ago, and he balled out in that game.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like in LA. It reminds me a little bit about 2 years ago when the Dodgers won the World Series, and it was like they wanted the city wanted the championship for Clayton Kershaw. I'm getting that feeling they want this championship for Aaron Donald. Yeah,
but there's also with the Bengals, you got the kid from Athens, Joe Burrow. Him and his college teammate, Joe Burrow, does not lose in big time. Like, it's just proven that he doesn't lose in big time. And we've seen Stafford be 0-4 in the playoffs. And I get that it has not happened with this brand new Rams team. And I constantly keep looking at this +170 on the money line for Cincinnati. Ooh. And I'm like, you're setting it that way because you're basing off so much of a very old school Cincinnati narrative. Like, this is a completely different Bengals team. Like, I don't know. It's just screaming.
I know. And later in the week, I'm going to have a couple of super fans on the show. One is our amigo Laquan Jones. So he's going to get me on the Rams side. And my hermana Yasmin Quintana, who is who's kind of a growing media personality in the Cincinnati area. She's out here, but I'm gonna have the two of them on later this week to kind of talk about it from either side. Just kind of a quick show with them. But you know, and I think you touched on it a little bit with Trey Hendrickson. I think that Cincinnati pass rush is somehow a little bit underrated when it comes to this.
Super underrated.
Yeah, that's a bad man. That is a bad man, Trey Hendrickson. And can they muddy up, you know, can kind of do a little bit what they did in the second half against the Chiefs? And I think there is an antidote to that, but because the Chiefs decided not to run.
And they've done that against a lot of teams, and we know that LA will get away from that run quick. If it ain't working out for them, they'll be like, okay, yeah, we're done with this.
But the thing is, I kind of wonder if, like, after two games in a row against two of the best run defenses, Tampa Bay and San Francisco back-to-back, the Bengals are not in that league when it comes to defending the run. I think if the Rams really, really work on the run, they run the ball more than 20 times. Because I think they ran the ball 25 total times. There were 25 rushes against the Buccaneers, and they were just under that against the 49ers. If they commit to the running game, I think that keeps them from, you know, dropping eight like they did against the Chiefs, and just kind of making that middle ground just really, really muddied up. Because that's the thing. I mean, do you think that – is that, I think, could that be the path to success?
That's if you're going to beat Joe Burrow, you're going to keep the ball out of his hands. You don't want none of that miracle type stuff from Joe Burrow. You don't want that. You're wanting to keep Burrow conservative as possible. But if you, the problem with that Bengals team is that if you cut off one head of the snake, another head is just going to grow back, and more are just going to grow. and that's tough. That's tough. It's like, okay, well, I singled out Jamar Chase. Shit, he still has T. Higgins. All right, well, I singled out T. Higgins. Damn, now Jamar's going to go off. We're now Tyler Boyd. You know, oh, wait, like Sample can still possibly have a game? It's tough. It's really, really, really tough. If you're the Rams, your best bet is just to keep pressure on Burrow, but at the same time, he doesn't have to have that sturdy offensive line. We've seen it.
Now Now you're a great person to talk to because you played wide receiver and you know about that hand-to-hand combat with the cornerbacks.
Really quick. Hey, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready right now. We've been in the gym, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I cannot wait. Canton is going down. It's going down. I've been in the gym lately. You're looking good right now, too. We looking good.
Fingers crossed. I'm saving a little money to get out there. So fantasy was good for me this year. So I got a little piggy bank to set aside. So now I just got to make sure my oldest daughter doesn't leave for college that weekend. Cause if that doesn't happen, we're going to have a good time and can, but you know, Jalen Ramsey. Now, if you're the Rams, do you shadow Jamar Chase with Jalen Ramsey?
So typically this season, they haven't had to have Ramsey in man situations. And I was listening to Mina Kimes earlier, kind of break this one down. And I actually agree with her take. I was like, "Yeah, you bring up a valid point, and it's exactly kind of what I just mentioned. Anyone and everyone is going to be able to get off. If you can't man chase, because you're letting one of the other two free. You're leaving someone else to roam free." Your best bet is to just do your best to play your best zone and pray for the best. That's really, with that receiving core. I mean, and the Rams have it on their side too, but I think that as a collective, the DBs over on the Bengals side, they just have better chemistry, and they're just the way that they flow together, the way that Jesse Bates is playing this year is just, oh my gosh. You know, so both sides of the ball have the exact same problem. Well, how we say in boxing, styles make fights.
Yes.
This is the exact definition of that. Styles make great games. These two teams, their styles match each other up very, very well. How you had to come away from that Buffalo Bills match when the Bills eventually ended up going down to Mahomes again. Styles make fights. You know, when Cincinnati had to go up against the Chiefs, styles make fights. Like it just comes out. You just had that underdog that did not want to lay down, you know, and that's Cincinnati, you know, and then you have LA. Everyone's already expecting them to kind of come in and win. But a lot of that is because you have the flashier toys. You have the Matt Stafford, who, you know, has an incredible stat line, potential Hall of Famer. I mean, he gets his ring, no doubt about it. You have an OBJ, you know, who has like the celebrated catch. You have a triple crown receiver in Cooper Kupp. You have the boy genius in Sean McVay. Like over there on the sidelines, you know, Jalen Ramsey is just a dog at corner. Aaron Donald, Von Miller, you have all the shiny toys. Well, there's a reason why the other team on the other side of the ball got there. Yes. They got shiny toys too. It's just people aren't looking at those toys.
And I think, you know what? I think this one, there's no way to discount either team being here.
No.
Because they both went through just some bad ass teams. Yes.
A gauntlet. I haven't seen playoffs like that in a hot minute. And by the way, I did not get a single game wrong during the playoffs. So I'm nervous heading into Super Bowl. Really? Where it's like, oh shit, I have to go on air Sunday and I have to
money line. You pick the winners, no point spread. Oh yes.
Money line all the way, bro. Just week after week. I was just like, just assessing, like, okay, you know, this is, you know, what I think is going to happen, what I feel is going to happen. This is the hardest game I've ever had to diagnose in my entire career. 5 years on air, this is the hardest game for me to diagnose. And this is probably the most beautiful potential Cinderella story that I've also ever gotten to witness and commentate come Sunday. So a lot of nerves, you know, here in the studio. A lot of, you know, just I wish I could just have fun with it, but we got a job to do, you know. But yeah, this one has everything that you want. It has the players, it has the storylines, It has the narratives. I'm excited to shout out to the whole crew over at NFL Network. I'm excited to see what the whole team puts together with all the like the old school Icky Shuffle stuff, and then back to like the old school LA Rams footage, and like how they bring this storyline together. Media Day's Friday. Media Day's fucking Friday night. So like I'm excited to see the Barstool guys break in and Media Day again, like tradition. Big Cat was good. So you know, there's so many just traditions. This is my fourth Super Bowl working and being on air for. So like, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm stoked. And this is the one. Like this is the one. Like someone's gonna become a millionaire tonight. Oh, the biggest bet in history, the Houston Mattress Firm owner, $4.5 million. Like he's taking the Bengals money line. Like,
wow.
Biggest bet in history.
That is one hell of a payout if that comes through. Woo, doggy.
Biggest bet in history.
So we've talked about, you know, kind of the Chase Higgins, because I think you're right. I think you don't shadow Chase with Ramsey. I think, you know, you kind of flip-flop Ramsey. Don't have them thinking about anything, because Higgins can beat you up just as good as anybody. I mean, we saw him do that. On the Rams side, I think we're seeing Odell Beckham Jr. more involved. Definitely. I mean, Cooper Kupp has at least 95 yards in eight of his last nine games. And I mean, he's just been a baller a special season, just an all-time great season. I mean, I don't know if they can, if for some reason they can actually, they can establish the run, but actually kind of get them, you know, pull them up a little bit. And then you got, pull them up being the Bengals secondary a little bit, and make that, and then have Odell and Cooper Kupp break out.
Oh,
I think, tell me, dígame, papi.
Bro, I'm going to be honest. If I'm a Woozier, I'm walking up to Odell first play. I'm getting a flag first play of the game, and I'm just popping him right in the side of the helmet because he gets emotional. So right away, yes. I'm letting him know exactly what time it is, like from right away. Because if I could tap into that, if I can tap into this and I have you the rest of the game locked down, like this DB's really stepping up and coming to play. Oh, I control you the rest of the game. And if you could get into Odell's mental, that's how you beat Odell. You just can't let Odell be more athletic than you.
Oh, I think I think that's special. I look at that one. Yes. If Odell can actually keep his head through that, if that happens and he keeps his head,
then it can get dangerous. If Odell can play calm, then it can get dangerous really quick for Cincinnati, really quick.
Oh man. Cause yes. I mean, cause some way, somehow Cooper Kupp is always open.
Yep. And if he plays calm consistently, he doesn't get mad.
He's just a ball. Now, you know, one of the prop bets that I saw that's very interesting is 102.5 yards for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
What do you think about that number? He surpassed it. I believe it was 12 times this season, 12 out of 20 games.
Yeah. I won a lot of money.
13 times. Prop. Sorry.
Yeah. I won a lot of money off that prop multiple times. It's like, 100 yard outing, Cooper Kupp. 100-yard outing, Cooper Kupp. I don't think that the Bengals are going to be able, there's too much talent on both sides of the ball. So like, there's going to be 100-yard games receiving on both sides. And I think Cooper Kupp is probably the clear benefactor of that. I know that Odell's kind of been, you know, he's turned it on since being there in LA, but Cooper Kupp knows that field so well. He knows exactly what hash, where to cut. Him and Stafford have a chemistry. Hey, I'm going to be cutting here at this hash. My hands will be, you know, right here, you know, near, you know, to the right side of my body. Just put the ball like right there. They know these things. So that's where like home field advantage, aside from crowd noise and things of that nature, comes into play, is that you know your field, you know your groundskeeper, so on and so forth. I want to. If you're betting the over, then you're taking props on both sides for receivers to have 100-yard outings, and Cooper Kupp is a safe one that I'd put on. And maybe you even play that one just as a singles. Like, maybe you don't even like worry about that as a parlay or something. You just singles that, boom, you know?
And actually, Ja'Marr Chase, his number is 79.5. I feel that that number feels like a trap.
That's a trap. That's a low number.
Yeah.
That's a trap.
Yeah.
Take the over on that.
But so he's passed that number 2 out of 3 times in the playoffs and 8 times overall in the season. So he does have I often look at this time of year.
I don't think Jalen can handle him one-on-one. I don't think Jalen can handle him one-on-one. I think Jalen's too small.
Wow.
I think Jalen got a lot of dog in him.
Oh, he's a bad man.
But bad. Let Chase the first time that it happens, Jalen will be fine. The second time that it happens and he's lined up on Chase, and if Chase does him in real dirty the second time, Ramsey's another guy where he'll get emotional. And if that happens, look for Callahan to start putting Chase wherever Ramsey is. Hey, motion, Chase. We need to send Chase in motion. We're going to send Chase in motion. Why are we sending Chase in motion? You see where Ramsey's at? Ramsey's pissed off right now. We're going to keep attacking him. Like,
I love it. I love it because it's two. I mean, these are two all pros. Going against each other. And I think it's just it reminds me of like the days when, you know, Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin were on opposite sides when they were in San Francisco and Dallas. And
Dallas. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's when that to me is when it's special. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like in baseball when it's Mike Trout against Max Scherzer, and it's just like, you know, best against best.
These two for all the kids out there, that if and all the parents out there, you know, if you got your little ones, you know, in the sport of football right now, and if they are playing receiver or corner, I pay attention to everything that these two do come Sunday, and this is the game that you DVR. Because you're not gonna get two perennial pedigree talents in their prime going up against each other like this. Like, it's not in the biggest game ever. It's not gonna happen again like this.
Unless they do it again next year.
Hey, Joe Shiesty's for real like that. Hey, Joe Burrow's the man. Big Joe Burr.
And I will say, if somehow Aaron Rodgers gets traded out of the NFC, then all of a sudden I'm like I'll take my chances on the Rams for a few more years with Matty Stafford. So yep. What, you know, the two quarterbacks, they both have very interesting over-unders on their passing yardage. Yeah. Joe Burrow is 275.5 and Stafford is 280.5. Burrow passed it, not, you know, surpassed that number 9 times. Stafford hit that number and passed it 12 times. That tells, if you like the over on both of those numbers, then you're going over on 49.5, because there's no way they're both going to be pushing 300 yards and not have this be a high scoring game.
So here's what I want you guys to do at home, and a really great exercise that I ask myself that I do. If I'm expecting a game for the points, you know, to go over, then that's usually where I will take the over on the passing. But then you want to utilize, some will say, a risk assessment. I like to call it risk intelligence. With your risk intelligence, what you want to do then with that is, okay, if I'm going to take the points on the over, I usually on a single game slate, I usually want to maybe go 4-leg parlay, right? And I can build a couple of different of those, you know, so I could switch up a couple of different styles and a couple of different things. So maybe in one parlay, I'm going to go over. I'll take the over on the points, and then I'll put over on Burrow, right? And that way, in case if Burrow or if Stafford doesn't hit, but Burrow hits on his over, I don't have them both parlayed in the same card, right? You don't want to have like too much heavy volatility, right? So I'll do like the over on the points, over on Burrow. I'm not even building a card right now, but I'm just like, if I were Bengals money line, and then give me Jamar Chase on his over on receiving yards, boom. Like, and then that'd be like a four leg card, and then I build another card where okay, I did, you know, Stafford's gonna go over on his yards. I do like kind of some of the same things. Then, boom, I swap out maybe that last prop or something else, and then boom, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. It's like you know, building a DFS lineup, which I'll be talking about later on this week with my cousins.
Building parlays is just the exact same thing.
Yeah, they got to correlate. You know, you got to correlate. You got to stack them together.
I cannot stand seeing a parlay card that doesn't match someone's showdown lineup.
Yes,
it's like, why didn't you put Chase in as a captain, bro? Like, if you think that he's gonna have like four touchdowns and like 200 some odd yards, 179 yards, yeah, you put him at captain. Like, don't have him somewhere else or like whatever the case may be. Like, yeah, just they help each other.
So are you feeling the over in this one, 49.5 as of right now?
Yeah, as of right now. But I know that like I'm gonna get a text from Snacks in the middle of the week, and he's gonna be like, "Don't be a degenerate. Don't bet the over." And then like come Friday night, I'll start talk with some sense.
It was I did do some checking. The last three games have all gone under. The last three Super Bowls.
Yep.
So does that mean it's due? Or we? I mean, but those games have been. I mean, yeah, the one with the Rams and the Patriots was just ugly, but
those were all games that people wanted overs,
right?
So it's like, and usually like in these big game situations when you have like the two of the best of the best, yeah, you're gonna run into an under scenario. Like it's I'm not saying that it's not smart to take the under. I'm just saying that it's not fun.
Yeah, it's not, because then you're not rooting for points. I know.
No, yeah, you're not rooting for points, and it's like, and then when you like post about it like on like social media, like then you just like an asshole, and people are like, oh well, like so you got it right, you know. It's just it doesn't bode well for publicity or for like or for like you gambling and having fun for like the sake of gambling. So yeah, it's like no. If you want to have fun, yeah, you're taking the over. And like, if it doesn't happen, you know, you shouldn't be betting more than what you can't risk anyways. Yes. You know?
Yes.
And you're doing it for fun anyways. Don't break your TV, please.
Yes, please don't break your TV. Please, por favor. You know, especially if it's a TV that you plan on returning after the game.
Yeah, y'all rent a center asses.
Now, I got one fun prop bet that I put on the show sheet, but is there a prop bet that you're kind of keeping an eye on for this week that I didn't mention on here?
No,
sorry,
I haven't
you on the spot.
No, you're good. That's what we're here for. I think that some of the some of the Super Bowl specials are kind of interesting. Hang on, where is it? It's not the it's like the player special. Yeah, the player specials. It's like both teams have scored 25 plus points. Combined with Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford to Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford 250 plus pass yards each, and that's at 450 odds. And it's really there's no yes or no with it. It's just like it's yes, you're taking that. So I think that some of those Super Bowl specials over on DraftKings. If you go over to Super Bowl specials, player specials, I think that those are kind of fun. Cam Akers has scored the first game TD.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one. Can you imagine the story that he would be if somehow he has a big game, kind of like a Terrell Davis kind of game back in the 90s against the Packers? And then all of a sudden he wins Super Bowl MVP 5 months, you know, after blowing out his Achilles. That would just be epic.
So that literally, I love that you referenced that game. That was one of my favorite Super Bowls of all time. And when I met TD, I told him about that, and he was like, he literally goes, he's like, I was a dog in that one, wasn't I? I was like, yeah, you
bad man. He put everybody, including Elway, on his back and mm-hmm. just rode that one. That was special.
High salute.
Oh God, I love TD. I love TD.
He's a good dude too.
I've heard from you and from Omar Ruiz at NFL Network. Just love.
Yeah.
He's got mad love for TD. So I got one. I did put a fun one on the show sheet. There's always one about the Gatorade.
Oh yeah.
So, do you have any fun ideas on what the Gatorade shower is gonna be?
It's gotta be purple.
Ooh, that grape flavor.
Yeah, go with that grape drink.
Ooh, wow, that would be
because you got Jamar Chase over there, you know, with the Bengals. He'd be hitting the giddy. I think yeah, they. Zach Taylor and boys, they got swag over there. You got Joe Burrow, shiesty big brr. That is my thing now. Like that is ever since the Rumble chat started that, I was like, yep, that's my thing. Big brr. So yeah, no, the boys got a lot of swag over there in Cincinnati. So I think that if they win, it'll be a purple shower. And then if it's LA for some reason, I'm just thinking that lime green. It's gonna be the classic lime green. Yeah, the classic lime green. They're a little bit older of a locker room.
Yes, yes. They would probably do it that way. I do like the kind of like the aqua blue one too. I've seen that one. So, but I don't know if that I don't know how that would splash on the white Ram jerseys. That would be interesting. Well, on McVay.
Yo, yeah, exactly. Is it? Do you think McVay drinks the aqua blue?
I could see it.
Yeah,
I could see it. You know, what was it that year that he was kind of that they followed him and he was by the pool and you know,
yeah. Right,
you know, you got the nice aqua blue water and everything like that. You know, so
I can see it. make the Gatorade match. You know, the Rams, you know, blue and okay, I see it.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm not going to have, I mean, unless you want to give me a prediction right now, but you could give me a prediction and with full disclosure, when you do Rumboys After Dark or the pregame show on Sunday, you could change it, feel free. But if you want to give me a prediction right now. I've got one, but you're my guest. You're invitado and I'm going to have you.
I'm not going to give you guys my money line. I won't give you my money line. Okay. I'll echo what I've been saying. If you want to win, okay, and you want to have fun, all right, and let's say like you don't care either way who wins, right, then don't worry about money line or points, okay? Build your parlay card just with the over and under. But if you want to have some fun, bet the over. But if you really give two shits about like winning and like you have a feeling it's gonna be a boring game or a defensive battle, okay? As experts like to say, it's a defense. It's not a boring game. It's just a defensive battle. We hear that argument all the time. It's like, hey, the casual fan felt that was boring. Then go ahead and take the under. That's what I'll say. But I think that this one's gonna go over. I want to shoot out. I want Stafford and Burrow just be like, I'm old, I'm young, I'm old, I'm young.
I know. There, it's like, I'm you know, it's two SEC guys, so LSU and Georgia. So my call is going to be 31-28 Rams, so which means the Bengals cover, but the over covers. So that one's my call. I think this is – that 4 points is very dangerous.
Yeah, that's why is dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, I think this is gonna be a field goal game, and there's gonna be a lot of good plays. There might be a mistake or two in there, but it's gonna be. I'm fired up.
You're gonna need a showdown lineup that'll feature both kickers. Just in the event that it goes under, and like if there's a lot of kicking back and forth.
Oh yes.
Like you're gonna need a lineup that that features Matt Gay and Evan McPherson. And Evan McPherson should be in a showdown lineup, like in a good portion of them anyways, because in case the Bengals get into those scenarios, or if the Bengals run it up, then you're getting all those extra points, or you're getting all those, you know, three pointers. Like, yeah. McPherson's a bad boy. Yeah.
Love it. Well, I got a quick last section of this, because it would not be it would not be complete if we didn't talk a little, you know, straight fantasy. And I always love it because I don't think there was anybody who owned the call of Derrick Henry last year. And for eight games, you were the king. You had that, like, you know, that blinged out look that he had that he had with the crown.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you about him and a couple other running backs. Henry, he's hitting age 28, but just still, I mean, it was an injury that running backs have come back from before, and he came back and looked effective. Obviously, maybe a little rusty in the season, but you know, where are you kind of like in your early thought process for 2022? On Derrick Henry hitting that age where most running backs are starting to taper down, if they haven't already started to taper down?
Because he is such an anomaly, this could potentially be maybe the last season that you get like something off of. Like, you're still obviously drafting him top five, you know. The fact that he had still was, even with his injury, for a game after game that Jonathan Taylor was going off, he was still holding on to his rushing crown for a hot minute, you know, until obviously, you know, that eventually got caught up with them. It's impeccable. I think you're still fine drafting and redrafting Derrick Henry, building a team around Derrick Henry. I'm still going to do it. Not running away from that direction. But yeah, I think that you guys are fine rostering Henry in the future.
And still, I mean, he's a yards after contact monster. I mean, the thing that struck me was he was still seventh in yards after contact, and he didn't even play half a season.
Yep.
So just, I mean, he may be that much of an outlier, and he was still not that much of a, I mean, he's still an outlier, and I still keep remembering those first two seasons where he didn't get a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I think he's still got some bullets in the chamber. Still,
exactly. Still
got some tread on the tires. So one guy, another guy you're familiar with from Washington, the Commanders, the commander in chief of their backfield, hopefully. Antonio Gibson. A guy who battled injuries before the season, that, you know, kind of remnants from the previous season, still came through with a 1,000-yard season, 1,037, in fact. He had seven touchdowns, ended up with three additional touchdowns in the receiving side after J.D. McKissick got more involved. But he battled – it was kind of like a strange season for him because he, you know, in the second half of the season, he battled through a lot of injuries, foot and toe injuries. But he still had at least 19 touches in six of his last games that he started. He did miss one game, which happened to be week 17, championship week. But thank you, Jarrett Patterson, for helping me win a championship.
Hell yeah.
you know, he's battled injuries 2 years in a row, but, you know, didn't need extensive surgery in either time. Yeah. How are you kind of approaching him? He's age 24, still fairly young, also a yak guy, over 500 yards of yards after contact.
I am fairly cautious. But I feel like as long as he's healthy, he's always going to be, for a lot of people, he's gonna kind of, you know, be in that debate. There's gonna be people that are gonna be like, hey, I told you so. You know, I told you he's gonna be a beast. And there's gonna be the other half where it's like, oh, you know, he's not getting the job done for me. If healthy come next season, I think McKissick will probably be out the door because of age and so on and so forth. They have Patterson back there. Patterson, I was always saying even at the beginning of the season, I was like, okay, McKissick should be out the door like now. You know, it should be Gibson and Patterson as a 1-2 punch. I think they make Gibson and Patterson the 1-2 punch. How that affects Gibson, still yet to be remain, but he should still be a guy. I mean, when you talk about what he was RB10 out of 16 games, mm-hmm. You got to take that and you got to be like, all right, well, like I'm not gonna get that type of value what in around 2-3 is around when you'd probably be grabbing him, because now this year there's probably gonna be a lot of people getting away from strategies, getting away from trying to build RB heavy. You know, you'll start seeing a lot of people, you know, maybe just see if they can go at best player available. I think that'll be a strategy that a lot of people are gonna leverage this year just because of how things shook out this year. If you're going with that type of strategy, if you're going with the best player available type of scenario, you're talking rounds, you know, end of the second, beginning of third, all the way through the third. Like, that's probably when you want to be getting Gibson. That's probably as good as where he's going to fall.
And if he somehow, I mean, the one thing that really is going to help him, if he gets better quarterback play, because then all of a sudden they don't crowd the box on him. I mean, I love the usage at the end of the season. That was the thing. He got 19 touches in 6 of his last games. One of those games he did leave with an injury and then missed the next week. So
if you traded for him middle of the season, you were happy. And you kind of had that same phenomenon his rookie year as well, because it wasn't until like he had those really huge games against Dallas where it was like, you know, oh, Thanksgiving, shit. Like, yeah, the Thanksgiving game, you know, to where people were like, oh, like, I need to get, like, you know, Antonio Gibson, how can I get him on my team? So you may run into that same thing, you know, this upcoming season where, you know, a lot of people are going to be, you know, not too high on him. They're gonna be like, man, like, you know, we're 2-3 weeks into the season, like, I'm not getting that workload out of Gibson. Go ahead, move that, you know, make a low cost effective move. And then boom, now you already know what you're going to get, because you've seen back-to-back years where it's like, okay, you are a second half of the year type of guy. And which is, that's what you need when you're going for the playoffs, you know, anyways. You need to get those string together, those wins, or, you know, either you need to have such a good roster at the beginning that, like, when the bye weeks and, you know, the craziness starts happening and the injuries start happening, you've already racked together so many that it didn't matter. You know, I lost Derrick Henry in the league. It didn't matter. I had already had like 8 wins. Like, I was like, okay, well, I just need to patchwork this one position and, like, I'm good.
Oh, that's such a hard position. I mean, well, yeah, I mean, it's one thing. Yeah. If you get a third running back, then almost, yeah, you could turn that into the flex position and, you know, play with receiver there. So, oh,
I think, well, I got one like Cordell Patterson there somewhere or something like that. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, we're good. You know?
Yeah. He had a bad end, but I mean, it definitely was a good play in theory. He was someone that could help you. So the last one, I think next year, everybody's going to be looking for that Jonathan Taylor, that second year running back that kind of explodes. And I looked at two guys as the possibility for that, Najee Harris and Javonte Williams. Williams obviously going to have a new coach, maybe a new quarterback, but definitely has a good offensive line. Maybe he gets all the carries to himself. If, as expected, Melvin Gordon goes somewhere else. Either one of these two guys you like is kind of like taking that big leap forward.
I feel like the obvious answer that everyone out there is running, they're going to rush and say Najee, but it's like, that team's about to go through hell. Like, and there's too many answers or too many questions. You know, the offensive line already wasn't good. You don't have a quarterback and Juju is going to leave. So you're going to be without that third, you know, really great receiver. So what that talent that's left there is Claypool and Deontay Johnson. And they never really play their full game reps because one of them is always either like getting dinged up or getting taken out of the game or, you know, something or the other. You know, because for some reason, I just like those two guys get hit harder than anyone else. like, ugh, like I hate seeing those guys get hit. I think that Javonte is probably going to have it. I think that it'll that backfield will become Javonte's. And then if we are going off the NFL rumor mill, and if Rodgers somehow ends up in Denver, because the Packers try and franchise tag Davante Adams, and he's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. I'm getting the hell out of here. And Denver's the place that he lands. Denver's like, yo, we'll give you Judy or, you know, Sutton, and, you know, and like, here's some picks or like whatever, you know. It's like, cool, well, you still got, you know, Tim Patrick, Sutton, and Adams, or you still got Tim Patrick, Judy, and Adams, you know, with like a little Noah Fant and Albert O up in there, you know, occasionally. Like, oh, shit, Aaron Rodgers with 12 personnel? Like, he's never really had a strong 12 personnel before. They're going to – and they're, and we've already seen what Aaron Jones has done in that backfield, you know, for Packers. We saw what yep. Jamal Williams was, you know, back there for the Packers. If – yeah, if Denver were to get Aaron Rodgers and Davante, yeah, that now elevate or Aaron Rodgers and Davante, that elevates Javonte, because it's like, well, Aaron's now going to bring his system and his style of play, and Aaron's always produced great running backs for fantasy.
And he's a good threat to catch the ball too. So yeah. that to me is just like
older, smarter quarterback. The check down's always available. Yep. Dump also always available.
Oh man. Well, Poppy, this is a blast. This is a blast. Thank you for accepting my invite and jumping on for the you know, to help us kick off Super Bowl week. You got so many different places where you can be found. I'm giving you the floor. List them all out where they, and I want to hear about your stand-up comedy.
Still working on that. Still working on that. You know, just want to like brush up on my chops and like really have like my jokes like really ready to go. But that's been like a really fun journey. That's been a really fun journey. You can find me, where do I want to start? On YouTube, Run Boys Fantasy Network, on Twitter, Run Boys Robbie. My name tag right there. Also check out 32-bit, check out It's a Vibe Pod, as well. Like, I can't thank my homies over at 32-bit enough. We have a lot of more awesome, really dope shows coming. And like just to be completely honest with you guys, like we're just a network of content creators, you know, some bunch of fantasy football guys and girls that were like, yo, you want to do something else? And then like, we're still fantasy, we're still sports, like, you know, I still own Run Boys and everything like that, but that's like my baby, where like, you want to hear my music takes, my food takes, my movie takes, talk about dating advice, relationships, you know,
my side ends up hurting sometimes when I watch those shows.
So. It's hilarious. It's completely a riot. And tomorrow night we're filming. We already have the show sheet done, and it's the weekend. Kinda this intense. Past weekend, yeah, this past weekend kind of wrote the show sheet for itself. So, you know, it's gonna be fun. But yeah, check it out there, and look out for the big news coming from SportsMe. Can't tell you guys what that news will be, but yeah, download the SportsMe app. You guys want to talk, you want to get, you know, gambling advice, you want to debate on your favorite sports topics, whatever, download the SportsMe app. Get ready for the future.
Oh man. Well, Papi, one more time.
Yes.
Salud to you. You know,
cheers.
Familia, eso es todo for our show. Once again, thank you to Robbie for joining us today. Robbie Johnson, make sure you follow him at RunboysR on Twitter and all the other places he just talked about. Please make sure you're giving us a like and subscribe on YouTube. We're coming up. We're going to have more content for you coming up for the Super Bowl. Also, thank you to Anchor for putting us on Apple, Google, Spotify. wherever you get your audio podcasts. Also, you can find our original content at familiaffb.com, and also find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at familiaffb. You can also find me on Twitter at JorgeMartin17. Otra vez, thank you, everybody. Have a great Super Bowl week. Anybody who's traveling to LA, say hello to me as you're driving by. But remember, familia, todos somos familia. Salud.